Line program on WART Community Radio for Madison County, North Carolina. My name is Chuck Blethyn, your host for today's program. The Mountain Grapevine reports on all things grape and wine in the mountains of western North Carolina, and sometimes elsewhere. My programs will have interviews with movers and shakers in the viticulture and wine industries, as well as some educational sessions on wine etiquette, wine evaluation, and special value-added products that can be made from grapes.
Welcome to the program today, folks. On the telephone, we have Ted Clevenger, who's the owner of Asheville Brewers Supply Company down in Asheville, North Carolina. Ted, tell us where you came from, about your background, and how you come to acquire the shop there.
I originally got into this not from the wine side, but actually from the beer side. Got into homebrewing and was actually buying my supplies from Asheville Brewers Supply at the time. And just started reading as much as I could, listening to podcasts. Ultimately moved to Asheville. I ended up getting a job here part-time at Asheville Brewer Supply. After a little while, a couple of years, the founder, Andy Dom, he was ready to sell, and I was in a position to buy it, and so we worked out an agreement, and here I am now.
So when did you buy the shop?
January 1st of 2015 was when I took over.
So you've been at it a year and a half, I guess, huh?
2.5 years now.
2.5 years, sorry. If somebody to come in your shop, tell us what kinds of things we might find in there.
If you come in, we've got equipment for making beer, wine, mead, cider. We've started expanding a little bit. We've got some cheese-making supplies as well. Vinegar, a local vinegar culture that's really excellent. We're starting to expand and dabble in other areas of fermentation, but we've got equipment, and then we've got, of course, the soft goods, the ingredients as well, so the malts or the wine kits or fruit purees, things like that. Yeast, of course, lots of yeast. We've got over 100 strains of yeast.
You have liquid yeast as well as dry yeast?
We do.
I found in my home winemaking ventures over the years that the liquid yeast works better for me, at least.
It's one of those things, it's definitely more expensive, but it's been really, really tough for us to try to get people to take that leap and try it. So as such, we don't really stock much in the way of liquid wine yeast currently. We've been ordering it in. Because with liquid yeast, you really want it to be as fresh as possible in order to get the best results. You know, we order it in for people. We can get it in within a week. But currently, because it hasn't really caught on yet, we're not stocking that heavily. But we're really fortunate because we've actually got yeast lab, white labs, here in Asheville now. They're originally out of San Diego, and they built a lab just right up the street from us.
Yeah, I understand that's quite an operation. Have you seen it yet?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're actually their partner shop here in town, and got a really great relationship with them. They're wonderful, wonderful people, and the technology they have in there is unparalleled. It's really, they've been insanely innovative and are just producing better and better quality yeast.
So somebody walks in your shop and says, hey, Ted, I'm interested in making wine. What can you do for them?
The first thing we want to find out is, do they have any experience doing this? Do they have any equipment? Have they ever done any of it with a friend? Anything like that. We want to get a little bit of background and find out where they are and then what they need. In terms of that, you get people kind of coming at it from different directions. Some people want to go a little bit more sophisticated right out the gate. Others just, you know, want some basic equipment and pick some dandelions, mix some sugar water, throw in some yeast, and make some dandelion wines. We just find out kind of what they're wanting to do, and then we're able to determine what kind of equipment they need and point them in the best direction as far as that's concerned. We have full equipment kits that encapsulate pretty much everything a winemaker needs equipment-wise to get going. And then if someone's interested in making a wine, a more traditional wine, like a Spanish Tempranillo, for example, then we actually carry wine kits that are concentrated juice. It's all the juice that's been pressed, concentrated. The company does an excellent job of doing pH adjustments, tannin adjustments, and they package this up. They include the appropriate yeast. Again, you can replace that with a liquid yeast if you'd like. It comes with oak, if appropriate, and then clarifying, stabilizing agents. So it's a very plug-and-play kind of operation once you have the equipment. and we're able to help people pick out something they like and match the wine to their taste.
Well, folks out there in Radio Land, tell us about how many bottles of wine one of those kits would make.
They're 6-gallon kit. You know, if you got exactly 6 gallons, that means you'd end up with 3750 milliliters. In reality, you're going to have a little bit of loss. You know, you start it in one vessel, and then you'll transfer it to another, and then you may even transfer it to another. And so you lose a little bit of product along the way. Ultimately, I find I usually get 27, maybe 28 bottles out of it. The economy is really, really good price-wise.
So what would somebody expect to pay for a kit as a range, you know, if you come in there? And I know there's different grades, but what would be a typical range of prices for kits?
Anywhere from $65 up to around $175. You can make great wine anywhere within that range. It just depends on what it is you're looking to do and how much time you're willing to wait for it to be ready. It's pretty easy to make a bunch of good wine, you know, over 2 cases of wine at, you know, $2.75, $3 a bottle.
Sure. That beats the heck out of going down the store and paying $8 to $15.
Absolutely. And it's a lot of fun. And labor-wise, you know, because so much of the work is done, you're not having to go out there and actually find and source good grapes, you know, do the stomping yourself and all that. You don't really have to know what you're doing in order to get into it, which is really nice. So it's easy to build from, and if people want to go on and explore more and start working with grapes, then they have a solid base, and they understand fermentation and sanitation, and they've got the basics. But again, even if you never want to work with grapes, you can just come in, get a kit, and make some great wine.
Well, it sounds like a fun thing to do. I know when I lived in Arizona, I did a kit wine out there, and it was fun. I really enjoyed that. When we left it sit there in the shop for a while it was aging, I guess, and then brought a couple friends in, did the bottling and some sampling, and it was good.
It tends to be a very social thing. You know, people get together and bottle some wine, you know, drink some of the wine, and hang out. And labor-wise, I mean, you're really only looking at 2.5 hours total, including bottling time, and that's spread out over about 4 different episodes. So it's not super time intensive, and it's just fun. It's a really nice, rewarding hobby, and I've certainly enjoyed it.
Do you supply any of the equipment there to do on-site brewing, where you store the carboys once they're made for a month or whatever?
No, unfortunately, we don't. We don't do brew on premise. It's just not in our model, and we run a small shop. We just don't have the space to do it, so we fill up our space with inventory. We're definitely more than willing to, you know, provide help and suggestions along the way for people. We pride ourselves on our support and customer service.
So if I walk in the shop, I could buy 6-gallon carboys, airlocks, hydrometers,
siphons, corks, corkers, fermenting buckets, all of it, absolutely.
And I'm assuming that on the brewing side, you got the same type of capability?
Oh, absolutely. I started out as the brewer, and this shop, Asheville Brewer Supply, is definitely still, we're known as a homebrew shop. So people do associate us more with beer still.
If somebody were to ask you about events there, do you have a brew-off weekend or something like that?
Well, we do a brewer social, and that is typically the fourth Tuesday every month, and we do that from 6 p.m. when we close until about 9 p.m. And I bring in a bunch of pizza from Asheville Pizza right across the street, and bring that in to feed everybody. It's totally free. It's my favorite night of the month, honestly. And people come and bring beers they brew, predominantly beers, but we do get wines. Someone showing up again, and that's always nice to have that variety. People bring some commercial beers in as well, and we just hang out and have a good time. Education-wise, we do a couple brew classes every month. Typically, the first Saturday of the month, we do our all-grain brewing class, which is a bit more advanced. It's like how the commercial breweries brew. And then the third Saturday of the month, we do the beginner brewing class, which uses extract with some grain as well. And they're both really fun, really educational. They're free. We kick them off at 1:30, and it's just a couple hours of your time in the afternoon. Very informal, but a good time. You can learn a lot.
Do you have some comparable for wine?
We were doing wine for a while, and we unfortunately had to stop because it was really difficult to show the four different stages of winemaking all at once. I'd have to get four different kits going and stagger them so that each one would be ready at a certain time. And, I'd get three going in advance, and then the fourth one we would actually make on the day of the class, so that way people could see everything. Unfortunately, just turnout wasn't good enough, and, investing four kits for just a couple of people, it just became cost prohibitive, and so we had to rethink that, unfortunately. But I'm still very interested in looking for more opportunities in order to bring some more wine education. I've just not quite been able to figure out what exactly that will be or what that's going to look like yet.
Well, folks, we've been talking on the phone today with Ted Clevenger, who's the owner of the Asheville Brewer Supply Company down in Asheville, North Carolina. Hang on, folks. We'll be right back.
Today's program is being brought to you by Peggy Patterson's Pig's Milk Cheese. Peggy warned me that some city folks listening to this program will laugh at the whole idea of pig's milk cheese. Peggy tells me that pigs produce less milk in comparison to cows. For example, pigs give about 13 pounds of milk a day compared to a cow that will produce about 65 pounds a day. Pigs also have a limited milk ejection time of about 16 seconds, so you have to be quick. Peggy says that it takes about four people with small cups to milk her pigs, and you only get about a half a cup each milking. Pigs have around 14 small teats compared to a cow's four. So in order to collect 10 quarts, which is needed for about 2 pounds of cheese, it takes at least 40 hours of milking. Peggy makes 1 pound cheese wheels, so she needs a lot of pig's milk. Peggy complains every now and then that her sows are very difficult to milk. Sometimes her sows kick the cups out of the milker's hands. Occasionally, one of her milkers gets bitten by an angry sow. Last year, Mary Lou lost her little finger when the sow she was milking got upset. But Peggy is not easily discouraged. She loves the cheese that she makes from pig's milk and is on a quest to get everyone else to like it too. But honestly, folks, after tasting it, I think pig's milk is gamey, and the cheese made from the pig's milk is an intense version of that gaminess. But, on the other hand, I do have neighbors here in the mountains who absolutely love the gaminess flavor. Peggy says, although pig's milk is high in fat, around 8.5% compared to cow's milk at 3.9%. It is an excellent source of healthy nutrients and makes wonderful cheese. Just so you know, pig's milk cheese sells for a wee bit over $1,000 a pound. Most of her pig's milk cheese is sold to high-end restaurants in the big cities. But Peggy wants to give everyone around here a chance to try it. For a limited time, she's making a small, thimble-sized cup of her pig's milk cheese available for sale in most local organic grocery stores around Madison County. Peggy Patterson's Pig Milk Cheese is another fine product made in the good old U.S. of A. here in Madison County. You can buy a thimbleful of Peggy Patterson's Pig Milk Cheese for $1.298 at Zuma's Cafe in downtown Marshall, and some other places. And now back to our regular program.
Welcome back, everybody. We've been on the phone today with Ted Clevenger, the owner of Asheville Brewer Supply in Asheville, North Carolina. Ted, just before the break, we were talking about some of the brewer's classes you provided down there and so forth. Let's talk a little bit about your customers. Who are your customers? You know, where they come from, how you find them, that sort of thing.
One of the things I really like about this industry is that I do get to meet and befriend and associate with so many different types of people. It's hard to say, oh, this is the demographic, because honestly, I think brewing and winemaking, they're scientific endeavors, but they're also very creative and artistic ones. It appeals to really a broad spectrum of individuals. I mean, we'll have landscapers in here, we'll have musicians, we'll have spinal surgeons, we'll have all kinds of people, and the age varies. I'd say in general, probably people more in their 50s tend to do more of the brewing, and more male-centric for sure, but we're starting to see more women in brewing, which is really, really exciting. And when it comes to winemaking, that's actually a bit more of a 50-50 split. We see more women doing the wine than the beer. It's just really exciting because I never really know who's going to walk through the door, but they're always good people. As far as, you know, how people find us, we've been around since 1994. Andrew Dom actually started this 1 week before Highland Brewing opened. So Asheville had a homebrew shop before there was ever even a single brewery in this town. We get a lot of business from word of mouth and repeat customers, but as far as new business, it's the internet, you know, the newspaper. People open up the Mountain Express and they see one of our ads in there, or they finally decide it's time, they're ready to pull the trigger on making some wine or making some beer. And so they go to Google and do a search, and they find us. And so they come visit us. We establish that relationship, and hopefully it goes on for years and years, and we're able to become good friends.
Well, it sounds like you've got the right kind of business there. If you've got repeat customers and they tend to be loyal and keep coming back year after year, that's super.
We are really fortunate, and I do really value our customers. It's not just like a business thing at all. I love what I do. I get very excited about what people are doing, and especially with new brewers or winemakers when they come back and they're like, oh my gosh, my first batch was so good, and they're just so excited, and they're surprised. Everyone thinks the first fermentation they do is going to come out just terrible and be dumped, and then they realize, no, I can do this. And it's really rewarding. This is definitely a people business, and like I said, I'm just really fortunate I get to spend time with so many different people across different demographics and age groups, and it's wonderful.
Well, Ted, I can tell from talking to you that you've got a real interest in the business and actually a passion for it, and that comes through big time when you're talking to people. And what the secret of good business long term is, because I've been there, done that, is the passion that you have, plus building those long-term relationships.
Yes, well, you know, it's not something I have to try to do, because it really is exciting to come into work every day. They say, don't make your passion your job or, you know, whatever, because then it's just work. I guess I'm just really fortunate that in this instance, my passion and my work have come together so seamlessly, and I get to enjoy it every day.
You should consider yourself pretty fortunate on that regard. I've been in a number of shops over the years where the people behind a counter could care less about you as a customer or as a person. You know, you're just something that they got to put up with till they make a sale, maybe. And I'm telling you, I just don't like to frequent places like that. I just don't.
I understand. Yeah, you know, which is definitely not to say we don't have our bad days here and there. There are definitely there are times when, you know, I come in and it's been a bad day for whatever reason, and it gets in the way of my performing well and interacting with people the way I want to interact with people. And I know there have definitely been times when just come across wrong, and I know I've rubbed people the wrong way here and there, and that's honestly something that does keep me up at night, and I try to always keep focused on that and try to remember it, so that if I am having one of those days, I really just keep that separate and, you know, stay focused on my customers, my people, and just stay focused on what I love and not let everything else affect me. I don't want to affect our customers like that.
Good thoughts. If you were to tell somebody what your favorite beer would be, what would you say? And don't say the glass you got in your hand at the moment. Somebody asks me my favorite wine is. That's usually my answer, is whatever's in the glass in my hand at the time.
it's a fair enough answer, because honestly, whenever I am drinking, be it wine or beer, is very much dependent just upon my mood, maybe what I'm eating, what the temperature is, if it's raining, if it's sunny. I didn't used to, but when I started brewing, I developed a appreciation for really all beer styles. Came to appreciate the nuances more and became a lot more interested in the process and the history of them. It's maybe an irritating answer, but I really do like pretty much every beer style out there. And what I want to drink is just, it's very dependent on a lot of factors. And that's not to say that every beer is great, because there are definitely bad examples of a beer or wine in any style. But a good example is definitely worthwhile, I think, in whether it's wine or beer.
I'd like to swap some observations with you on beer drinkers and wine drinkers. One of the things that I've observed over the years is that most, not all, most wine drinkers who are serious wine drinkers, they seem to prefer darker beers, beers that have more body, more oomph, more flavor. I think that comes from their enjoyment of wines that have more flavor to it. And in my case, I'm also one. I love porters and stouts, but I don't like the ones that are made with really strong bittering hops. I prefer the ones that have aromatic hops in the recipe. What is your observation on that?
I think that's a very astute observation, and I think you're right. It's a lot harder to appreciate subtle nuances of like a Czech Pilsner. It's a very basic style, and unless you can really appreciate how difficult it is to brew something that light, then you can't really begin to appreciate and look for, you know, just the subtleties of that style. Whereas something like a stout, it's like, oh, wow, you know, it's really nice because, you know, when it's colder, you'll get certain things, but as it warms, you'll be like, oh, wow, there's some nice coffee notes or some chocolate notes, and it'll continue to change, and you can experience it in different ways, much like wine does. And I think that's very astute. Also, another beer style that tends to get people on one side of the fence or another is sour beers. These have become very popular over the last several years, and traditionally most of them came from Belgium, and they were just spontaneously fermented, so they contain not just brewer's yeast, but they're also going to have some wild yeast strains and various souring bacterias and so on and so forth. They've become very popular, and they're being brewed a lot in the U.S. now, and people seem to either love them or hate them. I've found, I think, a lot of wine drinkers actually tend to be more receptive to sour beers than a lot of beer drinkers. Because beer drinkers drink and go, wow, this has nothing to do with beer. Even though it's barley-based, it really does have a lot more in common with wine, I think. Just the barreling processes, the blending processes. It's more acidic. It's oftentimes not as carbonated either, and you'll pick up maybe more wine notes or, you know, cherry notes, spice. You know, things you might experience like a Zinfandel or something.
What about the fruit beers? I see a lot of that lately.
I don't know. People tend to just say, oh, you know, don't fruit your beer, you know, it's blasphemy. And other people are looking for ways to, you know, really integrate fruit in creative ways. And I don't know, yeah, it's one of the things that I think you either like it or you don't. And a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times those tend to be a little bit sweeter styles. And so for people that don't really appreciate the acrid bitterness of a stout or, you know, the hoppiness of an IPA or something that aggressive, it's at least a great gateway beer, if nothing else. But yeah, I mean, they can be wonderful.
You see a lot of advertising, I guess, on the seasonal beers, like pumpkin beer and apple-flavored beer. And I saw one the other day, it was jalapeno beer. I mean, good grief, some of the stuff they're putting in beers. I mean, it sounds interesting, it sounds wild, but I sometimes wonder about the combinations.
It's really exciting because it is a wide open field, because you can really try integrating so many different things. And really the beer industry is actually learning a lot from the wine industry, not necessarily in terms of adding weird ingredients, but then, you know, you take this beer and then what can we do with it? The beer industry has really learned a lot about barrel aging and blending from the wine industry, and I think that's been really, really interesting. But recently, I think you're starting to see the wine industry taking a few notes from the beer industry. For example, you've got like whiskey barrel aged red wine now. That's a new thing, and it was beer companies, it was beer producers that were, you know, aging stouts and porters and whatnot in whiskey barrels before. So, I don't know, it's fun seeing the way that these two industries are playing off of each other and hopefully learning from each other.
Well, Ted, if somebody wants to get in contact with you, how can they find out where you are and what are your hours and that sort of thing?
There's always an online search. You can go on Google or Bing or whatever it is and search for Asheville Brewer Supply, and you will find that we are located at 712 Merriman Avenue here in Asheville, North Carolina. We are in the same building as Swannanoa Cleaners. They have a bigger sign than us, so usually people see that before they see ours, but big white and red sign. You can also find us online at ashevillebrewers.com. And you can sign up for our brews letter on there. Scroll to the bottom. And I definitely don't spam people. I just send out a couple of those a month, just some emails on new products, sales, holiday closures, just various information like that. And then social media. We're on Twitter at AVL Brewer Supply. We're also on Facebook as well, Asheville Brewer Supply.
Okay, folks, you've heard the information on how to get in contact with Ted Clevenger. He's the owner of the Asheville Brewer Supply down in Asheville, North Carolina. Ted, we really appreciate your taking time out of your busy day to talk with us today on the radio show.
Chuck, thanks so much. It's been a pleasure.
Well, folks, you've heard it right from the horse's mouth, as they say. So come on down to the brewer shop there in Asheville and learn some new things about brewing and maybe pick up some good tips on some wine kits. We're going to call that a wrap for today's program, folks. Thanks for tuning in.
This is the Mountain Grapevine on WART Community Radio from Madison County, North Carolina. If you have a friend whom you think might enjoy my program, tell them my Thursday programs will be rebroadcast on Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is Chuck Blethyn signing off for today. Cheers!